And the highly secretive election of Pope Francis' successor begins today in the Vatican. It's the conclave. 133 cardinals from 71 countries will be locked in the Sistine Chapel, where they will vote until one person emerges with a two-thirds majority. White smoke to follow. Our reporter, Cian McCormack, is there. Cian.
Well, how are you doing? Well, in just over about an hour from now, cardinals will celebrate a special mass, the Holy Mass, for the election of the Pontiff, the Roman Pontiff here at St. Peter's Basilica. And after that, then, there's a walk in procession to the Sistine Chapel. And then the voting will take place in the chapel under Michelangelo's frescoes from about 4:30 today. And just remember, once the cardinals enter the conclave, all access to the outside world is cut off. So much so, Audrey, that the Vatican issued a statement yesterday saying that it would cut off phone signal in the Vatican City for the conclave. Now, the election of the Pope, as you were mentioning there, it works on a two-thirds majority. The first ballot, it's expected this evening, and then voting will happen four times daily after that, twice in the morning and then twice in the evening. And you probably saw on the run-up to the conclave that last Friday, a special stove was installed in the Sistine Chapel, and after each round of voting, the cardinals' ballots are burnt until a new pope is picked. And just to remind you, and you did mention it there, that the black smoke indicates that the required majority for a new pope has not been found. White smoke, when we see that, we'll know that a new pope is elected. But later in the programme, we'll be talking more about the mechanics for the voting. We'll be talking about the likely candidates and also what the choice of pope means for the direction of the Catholic Church. Now, if you're watching me on the live streaming on RT News Now, you'll see it's very busy here. A lot of media here already around St. Peter's Square. Yesterday, there were lots of visitors. One local was actually telling me that they noticed more visitors from Asia, more visitors from Africa and South America than you would have had in previous years. But there's certainly Irish people here too. Among the first people that I met were Denise O'Mahony, Barry McKeown, and their sons Kevin and Rory from Carlow.
It's a happy coincidence we're here because we actually booked this holiday a few weeks ago, and little did we know Pope Francis would pass away in the meantime.
Are you Roman Catholic?
Yes, yeah, brought up. Actually, my dad, I was just saying to the boys in memory of Dad, he got a Bene Morente medal from Pope Francis for his 80th, for his contribution to the parish in Care in Tipperary, where I grew up.
It's kind of special for you then, is it?
Very special, actually. Yeah, Dad actually thought about becoming a priest, so I mightn't have been here after all. But no, he decided to, I suppose, be a lay person. So he was ahead of his time.
The future of the church, is it at a crossroads now?
Oh, very definitely. I think they need to include women much more in the church and to include young people.
Barry, are you invested in this? Have you a deep interest?
To be honest with you, no. I wouldn't be a practicing Catholic, but I think it's a unique opportunity to witness history.
So I'm Rory McKeown and I'm 13 years old. You're witnessing history, like, and it's just interesting.
Do you feel you're part of history here now?
Oh yes, definitely.
How does that feel?
It feels really good, and I'll definitely look back on this years to come.
I'm Kevin McKeown and I'm 17.
How important is it where the Pope comes from?
I think there definitely needs to be representation from countries outside of Europe. Catholicism is a worldwide religion, so we need a worldwide approach.
The O'Mahony McKeowns from Carlow in the Vatican observing the outcome of the conclave, which begins today. And that mass, which precedes the conclave, you can watch it on the RT News Channel from St. Peter's Basilica from 9 o'clock this morning. It's 10 to 8. We'll be back after this. Well, the conclave starts today. The conclave, the secret election of Pope Francis' successor. Cardinals from all around the world will begin the process of voting. And while no one knows when that white smoke will emerge from the chimney on top of the Sistine Chapel, or even who will be the next head of the Roman Catholic Church and the world's 1.5 billion Catholics, there is much anticipation this morning. Well, our reporter Cian McCormack joins us now again from Rome. From the Vatican, Cian, are you close to the action?
Yes, I am, Audrey. I'm outside the boundary of Vatican City. You can probably hear the bells in the background if you're watching me on the RT News channel. You'll see St. Peter's Basilica in the background, and you'll also see two guests, Colm Flynn, reporter with EWTN, and Archbishop John Kennedy, the head of the disciplinary section at the Dicastery of the Doctrine of the Faith. And we'll be getting their take on the conclave and how it works in a few moments. But first, lots of people are coming here in anticipation of the election of a new pope. Some of those people are Irish. Here's one woman, Anne-Marie O'Doherty from Donegal, who explained to me why she'll remain in Rome to witness the conclusion of the conclave.
I am absolutely going to stay until the white smoke comes up. I'm not particularly staunch Catholic, but yeah, I will.
There must be something driving you to come here, though. You say you're not a staunch Catholic, but you're here. You've made a big effort to get here from Donegal. You'll stay until the end of the conclave.
There is, but it's personal. I'm going through a cancer journey at the minute, and I nursed for 40 years and was looking forward to retirement, and got a pretty devastating diagnosis about 14 months ago.
I'm really sorry.
But I know that it has come back. Perhaps that, you know, underlined, you know, or drove me to this journey to go back to what's it all about.
You're looking at your mortality.
I think I am very much, very, very much staring at my mortality on scans and whatever, but I've done all the crying, I've done all the what ifs, but today just arriving in St. Peter's, the one thing I did ring my sister and say the one thing that I haven't had in the 14 months since my diagnosis is peace, and I feel peaceful.
You feel peace here?
I feel peaceful. Yeah, I do.
Anne-Marie O'Doherty from Donegal there. Well, joining me now are Colm Flynn, reporter with EWTN News, and Archbishop John Kennedy. First, Colm, the mechanics of what will happen today, what are they?
Yeah, great to see you. And Keane, just as we come on air, listen to that. I don't know if you can hear it on the radio.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The bells of St. Peter's ringing behind us, and a beautiful interview with Anne-Marie, of course. We wish her the best. Look around, Keane. Have you ever seen so many television cameras? And over here you see the huge, big, long lenses zooming up to the Sistine Chapel, to the chimney at the top of the chapel, because a Mass is going to be held this morning here in St. Peter's Basilica behind me. It's the Mass of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this is an election, but it's an election like no other because it has that spiritual component. They want to kneel, look up to the heavens, and evoke the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit as they head into the Sistine
Chapel. And what happens from 4:30 then?
Then they're into voting. They will get into the Sistine Chapel. They'll do one vote today to kind of try and gauge the temperature of the body. Where are we moving as a body together? So one vote today, around 7 or 7:15 local time, we will be looking at the chimney. The expectation is we'll see black smoke today, but you never know. It'll roll into tomorrow, and they have up to 4 votes tomorrow.
And what the cardinals will be looking for in a new pope, what kind of qualities?
It depends on where they come from and what their point of view is. You know, you'll have cardinals from one point of the world who will say, look, we need to continue Pope Francis's legacy, maybe even push it further, more reforms, more progression. Other cardinals coming from Asia, from Africa, could have a completely different point of view, saying, no, a return to tradition, a more conservative papacy, that's what not only we want, but the people in our countries want.
Archbishop John Kennedy, what qualities could the next pope have?
I think there are some essential qualities that a pope has to have. He has to be a kind, compassionate, loving pastor with a pastor's heart. We've seen that with John Paul II, who reached out to so many young people, making so many trips around the world, trying to encourage people's faith. Pope Benedict tried to give people reasons for their faith and a deeper understanding of what our faith actually teaches. Pope Francis, in his simple gestures, in his simple words, was in the same line, in the same family of pastors. He really was, in many ways, like a parish priest who was chosen to be pope. And I think the next pope will be conscious of what the predecessors have been like and will try to bring his own gifts to the future.
There's much upheaval in the world. Is a skilled international diplomatic leader needed?
Well, we all know that many of the world's great leaders, and we saw them present at the Pope's funeral, as they always do, but the Pope would have private meetings with individual world leaders, and of course he's going to push for peace, understanding, justice, communication, fraternity between nations. And he's in a privileged position to do so because the Church is not looking to take over any country. It's not looking for mineral deals with anybody else. It's looking to advance the cause of humanity and to support those who are most downtrodden.
Ideology and geography, they'll play a part in the selection of a new pope, but what part will they play?
Well, they will play a role, but the whole purpose of coming here to Rome and of gathering in these congregations, and of course later on this afternoon in the conclave, is to bring all of these elements and to coalesce them into one particular view. The Pope is the Pope of the whole Catholic Church, 1.4 billion people, not just of a particular nation. He can't advance the cause. It's not like he can just do a favour for his friends in one part of the world, but he is actually the Pope of the whole Catholic Church. And he has to do so, of course, for the next perhaps 10, 15 years.
Colm, the Running Riders, who are the favourites to be elected as Pope?
I have the name
you
here.
You don't
in
have
my
to
jacket.
Name them all now.
Well, look, we have to remember that back in 2013, Bergoglio, who became Pope Francis, I think he was number 15 as the bookies' favourite. So you just go in
as Pope and you come out.
You come back out as a cardinal. And I think it's a bit of a curse. It's a poison chalice to be called a favourite going into that conclave.
But if you were to pick two front runners?
Two front runners, the ones that people are talking about, Pietro Parolin, who is the current number two, he's the Secretary of State. He is the main diplomat, as Bishop said. When you hear about the Pope having a meeting with a world leader, afterwards you'll hear then he had a meeting with Pietro Parolin. He is very well liked. He has a deep institutional experience, a great diplomat. He wouldn't have the charisma of Pope Francis. And then if you want to go outside of Italy, Tagle is one of the favourites. He was, at least the last time we had a conclave. He's also called the Asian Pope Francis. Grew up around the poverty in Manila and the Philippines. He really has that touch of the humanity. But it's all. I interviewed Bishop Barron the other night, the famous US bishop, and he said, you know what, after we spoke for an hour, he said, I want to wrap this up by saying, it's anyone's bet.
So it's anyone's bet, Archbishop?
It's anyone's bet. I wouldn't be pointing towards one particular individual as a lot of people do. And I just make this point that a lot of people have their own particular favourites and they're watching their own favourites on YouTube and on various different media. What I'm looking for, ideally, is a young, dynamic, energetic Pope who will reach out to young people, who will give people the reason and the joy for why they believe and will have a vision for the future and will bring the Church with him as a body.
Do you feel that would follow in the footsteps of Pope Francis?
I think it would in many ways, but would also build on his legacy.
Colm Flynn and Archbishop John Kennedy, thanks for joining us here this morning. Well, Audrey, that's it from Rome and outside Vatican City. For now, it's back to you in Dublin.
Cian, thank you very much indeed. Cian McCormick there live just outside Vatican City boundary, and Mass at St. Peter's Basilica will be celebrated from 9 o'clock this morning, and then the procession of the Cardinals into the Sistine Chapel that begins at 3 o'clock this afternoon, marking the start of the conclave, and both events will be broadcast live on the RTE News Channel.